Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills that we may serve you today, now, and always. In the name of the Father. Good morning. This is the third time I've done this today. And every time they have said, you know, you have water up there. So I'm grateful for the water. I'm honored and blessed to be at St. Paul's today. I know many of you. However, there are a few new faces. And for you, my name is Alberto Mellis, and I'm your deacon. The word deacon comes from the Greek diakonos, which among other things means servant. Not just servant of God, but servant in every sense of the word. I'm a vocational or permanent deacon. Deacons are mentioned in the Bible and in the early church. The vocational or permanent diaconate is fairly recent to our church history. Our mission is simple. In the Book of Common Prayer, in ordination of a deacon, which is in page 547, in case anyone wants to read it. During the examination, the bishop says, you are to interpret to the church the needs, concerns, and hopes of the world. You are to assist the bishop and priest in public worship and the ministration of God's word and sacrament. Note the needs and concerns and hopes of the world. We're the bridge between the people and the church. We now have 35 vocational deacons in the Diocese of Texas. Most deacons serve in a parish, but they also serve the world in many ways. It can be as hospital chaplains in hospice, or in Kairos ministry in jails. While I hang my hat at St. Albans, as Father Chuck said, I have been placed to serve all three parishes in Waco. I assist at the altar, I visit those that can't come to church, and I also handle pastoral emergencies. As I learn more, I am finding opportunities for all the Episcopalians in Waco to act together for the Holy Spirit, serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, including a few minutes ago, I'm asked when I'm going to be a priest, but simply, that's not what I heard when I was called to serve. This is what I've been called to do, the diaconate. We don't draw a salary, but we have a great retirement. As a deacon, there are three things I can't do. They're the ABCs. A is absolve. In the rite of reconciliation of confession, I can offer forgiveness, but not absolution, which is a subtle but important difference. B is bless. I can bless indirectly. May the Lord bless you, or bless us, O Lord, while a priest can bless you directly. I can marry people or baptize them, but I can't bless the water, say the blessing over the water. C is consecrate. When I do visitations and take communions to someone, I use the already consecrated sacraments. I wear my stole diagonally. It represents several things. The one most often cited is that it stands for the towels used to wash feet by Christ, while the stole worn by the priest represents taking up the yoke of Christ. And another question I was asked a few minutes ago is, what do you call me? Al is good. Al is real good. If you can handle it, Alberto is also very good. Deacon Al works. And if you're going to send me a formal invitation to go to dinner at your house, hint, hint, is the Reverend Alberto Mellis. But please, I beg you, don't call me Father. There will be other sermons, and we'll talk further about deacons and diaconia. And yes, by the way, about what to call me, I know there are some of you that are saying, where have I seen him before? Keep worrying about that. Prayers are near and dear to my deacon's heart. There are about 650 prayers in the Bible, according to how you count it. But let's talk about today's epistle that you just heard, the Epistle of James. We don't know which James wrote it. There could be as many as seven James involved in this. But the belief is that it was James the Just, meaning James, the brother of Jesus. James is towards the end of the Bible, and it can be difficult in places, but he wonderfully closes the letter with a brief discourse on prayers, exhorting the tribe to say, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Is the opening of the Shema. Shema means listen. You will hear many prayers in the Bible and many a psalm that begins with listen. Listen, O Israel. It's an ancient prayer from Deuteronomy from about the 7th century before Christ. That's how important prayers are. Observant Jews pray it first thing in the morning and last thing at night. And ideally, if they know, just before death. It is as embedded into Judaism as the Lord's prayers in us. The Shema is embedded in their DNA much as the Lord's prayer is in us. The Shema is so important that Jesus used it as an answer to a question in the Bible. In the Gospel of Mark writes that one of the scribes asked which commandment came first. Remember that? And the Lord said, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and continued with the rest of the Shema. It is a prayer that was important then and it is now, as are all prayers. James talks about individual prayer. If you're suffering, pray. If you're happy, sing songs of praise. He says, if you're sick, get the elders. That doesn't mean that your individual prayer is not enough. You need to pray. But sometimes, even today, we do not get the elders. We go out and reach out for help. We add our names to the prayer list. Here, you. We ask for others to pray with and for us. We are in the community of the church. He's just not referring to the sickness of the body, but emotional, mental, and spiritual sickness as well. He's talking about troubles and hardships. Then he talks about confession, reconciliation, and making things right with God and often with each other. We do that with prayer also. We acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed. We do it with prayer. You've heard, of course, that you can go to a group of Episcopalians and say, let us pray, and they'll say, what page number? And actually, that works well. There are so many wonderful prayers in the Book of Common Prayer. However, the best prayers are simple conversations with God. Find those thin spaces where you can pray. Talk freely and converse with God. Not just pray, but listen. Listen to God. Sit down, or walk, or jog, or bicycle, and talk with God. As if to a friend, because in fact, he is your friend. You don't need the Book of Common Prayer for that. Pray before dinner. Believe me, Waco is a place where people won't give you odd looks when you do. I've been to Egonai about once a week, and there's usually two tables praying while I'm sitting there. Nobody's going to look at you. Sometimes, as with friends, you're going to be angry with God, sometimes very angry. That's all right. God has broad shoulders, believe me. Go ahead and get as mad as you want, say whatever you want. It's okay. You can pray anytime and anywhere. Some of my best praying happens during long drives. James tells us to pray when we're in trouble, when we're happy, when we're sick, when we repent our sins. In another word, James tells us to pray at all times. He wants us to share our burdens. He says, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective, and so it is. To pray for one another, to pray for ourselves. During World War II, the Archbishop of Canterbury during that period, William Temple, said, when I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't. Indeed, pray. Pray hard, pray often, because coincidences do happen. Now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be all dominion, glory, and power. Amen.